In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's amazing. You can get an app for just about anything nowadays. You can recite the daily office, buy a book, have a meal delivered, or even find a date, all with the push of a button. I recently read that there are something like 4 million apps that can be downloaded for our phones and tablets. One of the more unusual apps that I have on my phone is a vacation countdown app. Have any of you heard of such a thing? Basically, the app tells me at a glance how many days are left until my next vacation. As of today, I have 74 days to go. But who's counting? Seriously, though, the Vacation Countdown app has helped me to get through some particularly challenging workdays by allowing me to daydream about the future. But there is one significant drawback to such a tool. The app is so focused on the end goal, that is, the start date of my next vacation, that it's easy to lose sight of what might happen between now and then. In other words, I might be so focused on the future that I fail to notice all the good things that are happening during the next 73 days, such as the joy of buying travel guides or sharing travel plans with family and friends. Now, this is what I call the vacation countdown mindset, being so focused on the end goal that we've lost sight of our current journey right here and right now. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. As many of you know, not only is today the beginning of a new liturgical season as we shift from green to violet, but it's also the beginning of a new liturgical year. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means arriving or coming. And this, of course, points to the arrival or coming of Christmas at the end of the four Sundays of Advent. Now, I always have loved the season of Advent. I think it's one of my favorite liturgical seasons. For me, Advent is the church equivalent of when Christmas decorations first start showing up in department store windows, or when carols start playing on radios or music playlists. There is excitement and anticipation in the air. But all too often, Advent can end up being like a vacation countdown app. That is, we can be so focused on December 25th and the end goal of Christmas that we overlook the Advent journey itself. In other words, Advent becomes mostly a countdown to Christmas as opposed to a liturgical season in its own right. To be sure, Advent is about waiting. It's certainly about waiting for Christmas, on which we celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. But as today's lectionary readings remind us, Advent is also about waiting for the second coming of Christ, which has yet to happen. In today's gospel reading from Luke, Jesus tells us that we will one day see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Similarly, in our epistle reading from the first letter to the Thessalonians, St. Paul talks about the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints one day. But until these things happen, we are called to wait. Now, waiting often has a bad connotation in our right now culture. You know, technology allows us to text a friend on the other side of the globe in a fraction of a second. Is it any wonder that waiting for more than a few hours, let alone a few days or weeks, often makes us feel helpless and captive to the passage of time? And this can be especially true in the secular world. Interestingly, the spiritual practice of waiting is actually the exact opposite of that. There is nothing passive about spiritual waiting. Spiritual waiting is about paying close attention to what is happening all around us. During this time, we actively reflect upon and make plans for what has already been promised to us, which is the full arrival of God's kingdom. And so our waiting in Advent is never just about sitting around. Rather, we wait in active anticipation of what today's Hebrew Bible reading from Jeremiah says about the righteous branch that will spring up and execute justice and righteousness in the land. I've learned a lot about waiting from our dog, Chartres. She has a favorite place to sit in our apartment. It's under a bench that's located right across from our front door. Whenever Michael is not at home, Chartres sits there and waits for him to return, even if it's not for several hours. Sometimes it may look like she's taking a nap, but she's actually paying attention the whole time. I can see her ears perk up or hear her growl softly whenever she hears the elevator doors opening or footsteps or voices in the hallway on the other side of the door. Chartres is constantly looking for signs of Michael's return. 9 times out of 10, it's not him. But when it is him, she's ready to welcome him home. In the same way, Jesus invites us in today's gospel reading to pay close attention to the signs all around us. Jesus tells us that the second coming will be accompanied by signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. We are to raise our heads and to look up. Just as we know that summer is coming when the fig tree starts to sprout its leaves, we will know that God's reign is coming when we see certain signs of the kingdom. Jesus teaches us to be on guard at all times so that we are not distracted by the worries of this life and caught unaware. What are some signs that we are still waiting for God's kingdom of justice and righteousness? For some, it might be the heart-wrenching images that we've seen this week of asylum-seeking women and children being sprayed with tear gas. For others, it might be the continuing epidemic of gun violence and mass shootings in our schools, houses of worship, and other public spaces. For still others, it might be the rapid and possibly irreversible disintegration of our fragile ecosystem. Jesus is teaching in today's gospel that there will be distress among the nations is not so far-fetched after all. But what might be some signs of hope that God's kingdom is in fact breaking through? For some, it might be the upcoming visit by Bishop Larry Provenzano of the Diocese of Long Island to provide pastoral care to migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border. For others, it might be the national efforts by our Episcopal leaders, including Bishop Deechee and Bishop Shin, to organize against gun violence. And for still others, it might be the robust debate happening in the Diocese of New York over the impact of fossil fuels on the environment. The point of Advent is this: God's kingdom of justice and righteousness is not yet fully here. That's the reason for the second coming. The second coming is not just some scary apocalyptic horror show. Rather, it's an acknowledgement that we need God's help to get us out of the mess that we've gotten ourselves into as human beings. We cannot do it alone. But until that time comes, we are called to actively wait. So how might we actively wait this Advent season? Let me close by suggesting a few online resources that are not vacation countdown apps. There are actually a number of helpful resources that can enrich your spiritual journey during the next 23 days. One of these is an app by Forward Movement, which is the same Episcopal organization that publishes those small booklets of daily reflections, you know, those that are available sometimes in the back of the church. They're so popular that we're out of them right now. And they also publish the pamphlets that are in the rack in the Holy Family Chapel. Our own Father Platt has been busily working on those pamphlets for several weeks now, so make sure you check that out. But anyway, Forward Movement has an app called Advent 2018. Anybody, have you heard of this app, Advent 2018? Check it out. It provides scripture readings, a meditation, a journal entry, and there's even a cartoon that you can color for each of the 23 days of the Advent season. It's like a digital Advent calendar, but with a special focus on daily spiritual practices. There's also a daily Advent email distributed by the Brothers of the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I've had a connection with the monastery there. I actually used to go there for spiritual direction. The resource is called Advent Word, and it presents one word for each day of the Advent season. Today's word, for example, is journey. Journey. And that's pretty appropriate given the start of our Advent journey. People all around the world will post images and reflections on each day's word. You can sign up for this resource by going to adventword.org or by searching hashtag AdventWord. Jesus invites us to engage in active waiting during this Advent season. He invites us to look closely for signs of the coming of God's kingdom. We must be alert at all times. May the coming weeks of Advent be for each of you more than just a simple countdown to Christmas. May your Advent be a journey of active waiting and preparation for the full arrival of God's reign of justice and righteousness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.